It's 3 in the morning and Marcus can't sleep. It's not a crisis. Nothing is on fire. Nobody is in the hospital. It's a quieter kind of bad feeling, and it goes like this. He's been thinking about his best friend, a guy named Dre, and he's realizing he can't remember the last real conversation they had. Not the quick texts. Not the, how's the job going at the birthday party? A real conversation. The kind where you say what is actually going on with you, and the other person stays on the line and actually wants to know. He tries to remember. He can't. And sitting there in the dark, Marcus understands something that he doesn't have words for yet. He and Dre have been close for years, but somewhere in all the busyness, one of them stopped holding the center of what they had. And now the thing between them feels thinner than it used to, like a thread that has been neglected, still there, but starting to fray. This is an episode about that, not about families, not about groups, not about whole communities. About the center of one bond, the one between you and one person who matters to you more than almost anyone, and what it actually takes to hold it for a whole life. Now, Marcus has theories about what went wrong, the same theories most people reach for. Maybe they just got busy. Maybe they grew apart. Maybe that's just what happens to friendships when you get older. They fade, and it's nobody's fault, and that's just life. Those explanations are easy, and they feel true, and almost all of them let everybody off the hook. But here's what the relationship book says, and it's quiet, but it changes things. Close bonds, real ones, the kind that last decades, are not held together by how much two people love each other, or how long they've known each other, or even by the big shared moments. They're held by something smaller and more specific, small acts of attention, offered again and again, that say, I see you and you matter to me. Not the grand gesture, not the reunion trip or the meaningful gift, the unhurried phone call on a Tuesday. Remembering what the other person said was hard for them this month. Showing up on a regular Thursday, not because anything is wrong, but because they're your person and you wanted to be near them. Those small, ordinary acts are the center. And holding the center of a bond means doing them on purpose, over and over for years, even when it's easy to skip just this once. Here's the thing. This show has been building toward from the very first episode, and it matters here more than anywhere. The center of a group, a family, a whole community, it's a role, not a gift. It's not something some rare people are born with. Anyone willing to hold it can hold it. That's the whole idea. The center is positional. Well, the center of one bond works the same way. You don't have to be the more loving one, or the more outgoing one, or the one who's better with words. You just have to be the one who is willing, willing to go first. Willing to make the small, ordinary reach, even when you could talk yourself out of it. Willing to keep holding the center of what you have together, even on the weeks when life is pulling at you from every direction. Most bonds don't end in a fight. They thin out because both people kept meaning to reach and kept not quite getting to it, and eventually the thread between them got so faint, it just quietly disappeared. Holding the center of one bond is as simple and as hard as deciding, I am the one who goes first. Not because I'm required to. Not because the other person deserves it more. Because I want this thing to last, and someone has to decide to hold it, and I'm deciding that's me. Now, let's be honest about something, because people can feel it even when they don't say it out loud. Going first has a cost. Making the reach when you're not sure it'll land, that costs something. Showing up on a regular Thursday when you're tired and your to-do list is long, that costs something. Being the one who remembers what was hard for your person last month and asks about it, when you could very easily talk about something easier, that costs something. And here's the turn that this whole show is built on, the one that ties everything together. In a close bond, the easy stuff, the quick thinking of you text, the autopilot kindness, is good, but it proves almost nothing. Because it costs almost nothing. What holds the center is what costs you something, your time when you're stretched, your attention when you're tired, your honesty when a comfortable silence would be easier. That cost is not a bug. It is the whole point. When you give the costly thing to one person, again and again, you are saying something without words, something that a quick text cannot say. You're saying, out of everything pulling at me right now, I am choosing you. That is what holding the center of a bond really is, not a feeling. 1,000 small, costly choices, one after another, that all point the same way. Here's where the jar comes in, and if you've been watching the other episodes, you'll hear this a little differently now. In a group, the jar works because many people fill it, and the giving goes around. That's the whole shape. Now take that shape and shrink it all the way down to two people. In a healthy bond, both people give into the jar between them. One person says the hard thing. The other one stays and listens. One person reaches on a hard week. The other remembers and checks back in. One person carries the weight for a season, and then the other one picks it up when things shift. The giving goes back and forth, not perfectly equal every day, but going both ways over time. That's what keeps the jar between two people from running dry. But here's what happens to a lot of bonds, slowly, without anyone meaning for it to. One person keeps filling, and the other person keeps drawing, and the person filling never quite says anything, and the person drawing never quite notices. It doesn't start with anyone being selfish. It starts with two people being busy, and the giving settling into a shape. One way, because nobody stopped to ask, is what we have between us flowing both ways? Marcus never asked that. Draw never asked it. And that is how you end up at 3 in the morning, staring at the ceiling, wondering when everything got so thin. All right, I can already feel the smart objection forming, and it is a fair one. If the point is that someone has to go first and the center is open to anyone willing, doesn't that just mean I'm supposed to carry the whole thing while the other person does whatever they want? Because that's what it already feels like in some friendships, isn't it? One person puts in the effort, the other one shows up when it's easy. And calling that holding the centers just sounds like a fancy way to say be the one who gets taken for granted. Good. That is the real concern, and it deserves a real answer. Here's the honest one. Being the one who goes first does not mean being the only one who gives. It means choosing to start the flow, because the flow rarely starts itself. But here's something that people who study how friendships actually work have found when one person begins to make small, steady contact, checking in, showing up, keeping the connection warm, it usually wakes the other person up too. It doesn't always work. Some people are checked out of a bond and won't come back regardless. But in most friendships where the giving has gone quiet, the quiet started because both people were waiting for the other one to move. When someone moves, the other one usually follows. And if you do the small, steady things and the other person never moves at all, then you have your answer and you've learned something important about what this bond actually is. Holding the center is not the same as carrying dead weight. It is going first to find out what you actually have. So here is the turn that matters, the one Marcus didn't see coming at 3 in the morning. He thought the thinness between him and Dre meant the bond was fading, and he was scared to reach because, after a long gap, reaching feels weird. It feels like admitting something. It feels like the other person will notice how long it's been, and it will be awkward, and maybe the reach itself will make it clear that what they had is mostly gone. Here is what's true, and people who have been in these moments know it. The thinness in a bond almost never means it's over. It means nobody has been holding the center. And when someone reaches, not with a big dramatic conversation about where do we go wrong, but with something small and warm and real, most of the time, what comes back is not awkwardness. What comes back is relief, because the other person has been thinking about it too. They've been at their own 3 in the morning, doing their own math, wondering the same thing Marcus was wondering. Two people, both meaning to reach, both not quite getting to it, and all it takes is one of them moving. That is the whole thing. You are almost never as close to the end as you think you are. You are usually just close to the moment when somebody has to decide to hold it, and that somebody can be you, starting now. All right. Let's bring this where it belongs, which is to you, because a story about Marcus and Dre is only useful if it makes you think about your own 3 in the morning. So I want you to pause here and sit with 3 honest questions, not to figure out an answer fast, just to actually let them land. First, where in your life has a bond gotten thin, and whose turn is it to reach? It might be that you know exactly whose turn it is, and it's not yours. But it might also be that you've been telling yourself that story for a while now, and the other person is telling themselves the same one. Second, in the bonds that matter most to you, are you giving in to the jar between you and them? Or have you been drawing on it for a while without noticing? Not because you're selfish, but because you got busy and it drifted. Third, and this is the one that can change something today. Think of one person in your life who is holding a bond between you, who is the one who usually reaches first, who has been sending warmth your way while you've been meaning to respond. You probably just thought of a face. That person has been holding the center. They need to know you see it. That's where your week starts. So here is your one thing this week. And it is small on purpose, because the point of this whole show is not that you need to overhaul your life. It's that the center of a bond is held by small, repeated acts, not big dramatic ones. This week, give one small, warm reach to one person. That's it. Not a conversation about, we need to talk about us. Not a big plan to fix everything at once. One small, warm thing, a text that says, I was thinking about you, and it made me glad. A 10-minute call with no agenda. A message that says, I heard you mention this hard thing last month and I wanted to check in. Something that says, without making a big deal of it, I see you, I'm choosing you, and I'm putting something into the jar between us. The center of a bond is not held with one big move. It is held with 1,000 small ones. You don't have to make all 1,000 today. You only have to make one. Make it this week. Make it a give. So here is where we end. We started this show by learning that the center, the role that holds a circle together, is open to anyone willing to step into it. We looked at how to hold it without burning out, how to share it so it doesn't fall on one person, and now we end here, at the smallest version of all, the center of one bond between you and one person who matters. And everything we learned scales down to this. The center of one bond is a role. Anyone willing can hold it. It costs something, and the cost is the point. The jar between two people only stays full when both keep filling it, and when it runs low, the one who goes first is not carrying dead weight. They are starting the flow. You are almost never as close to the end as you think. You are almost always just close to the moment when someone has to reach. That someone can be you. That moment can be now. Thank you for holding this with me every episode, watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you in the next show.